From Lake Wissota, once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
That's pretty much what everybody said after the Brewers blew it again. Lost another walk-off in Pittsburgh, getting swept by the lowly Pirates, and are now tied with the Cardinals atop the National League Central Division. Basically just, you know, doing everything possible to get rid of the four-game lead they had at the start of the week. So we'll see if they can get back on track at home against Cincinnati. Maybe tonight when they celebrate the 1982 World Series team, that will remind them of what winning felt like. And they will go on into that. Luke was kind enough to give me a little Electric Avenue to tee me up for looking at headlines of the past week and things that I can share with you. And one of the notes is about electric cars and the role that they can play, not just for the obvious reason, which of course would be that they're good for the environment, but also, you know, from a straight up money-making reason, you know, tourism. And to do that, Grandpa Pat has to take you back in time to a place where Wisconsin had very few cars, period. And the people that, you know, did have the cars, that, you know, the roads were terrible because they weren't really roads. They were, you know, they were horse paths. I like how Luke has pulled up his chair and is just sitting back for story time here. But for people that were made cars, sold cars, or wanted to just make life easier for people, there was more advocacy for roads, for better roads. And there were people who were heading to this, you know, fairly new national park called Yellowstone. And what eventually happened across our part of central and western Wisconsin was something called the Yellowstone Trail, which was, again, not paved or anything like that, but it was at least something of slightly higher quality for automobile traffic, for these, you know, new car drivers to work their way out west. And so to this day, especially along, say, the Highway 29 corridor here, you'll see either signage or the boulders painted yellow that marked the Yellowstone Trail. So it was a little bit of marketing back in the day to take care of this new technology called the car. And it's what they're going to try doing now with electric cars. So Governor Evers this week, along with three other Midwestern governors, announced that they were going to start a collaborative project to build what they called the next iconic road trip route, specifically for electric vehicles. They're going to basically do it around Lake Michigan. So the Lake Michigan EV Circuit Tour, which doesn't have the romance of the Yellowstone Trail, but, you know, why don't we go with Electric Avenue? I think Luke maybe just gave them the marketing idea that they need. But the Lake Michigan EV Circuit Tour will be a network of EV chargers that span more than 1,000 miles of drivable shoreline, you know, around one of our Great Lakes. And of course, you need a multi-state partnership to do that, to build them, to maintain them, but basically turn it into an eco-tourist attraction, but then also enhance, you know, the tourist attractions that are already there. They did refer to it as an electric Route 66, which, you know, again, that maybe that's setting the bar too high, but I think, again, if you you know, evoke that sense of romance and travel. And like we did with Susan Lampert-Smith, people are getting back in their cars now. They're getting back to taking road trips. They've been cooped up for far too long. You know, my wife and I said this year that we were just going to, instead of one big trip, we were going to try to get out of our rut and do new things on the weekends and go see new places. And I think something like this is geared specifically toward that, and especially for those who are embracing a next generation of automobiles. So it will target, you know, putting some of these charger installations at key coastal communities, lighthouses, tourist attractions, state parks, breweries, vineyards, restaurants. All of these are going to be tied together with an existing charging infrastructure network that you have in places like, you know, Green Bay, Milwaukee, Chicago, and Traverse City. So look, I haven't made the move to an electric vehicle yet. I know I fully intend to. I did say yesterday that when I finally give up the, you know, the Jeep Wrangler, I'm going to park my cushy butt in, you know, a cushy vehicle, and it's probably going to be electric powered. The only thing I think they need to change, Luke, is that, you know, they don't make noise. Those electric vehicles don't make noise. And More than a couple of people have gotten hit because they didn't even see it coming.
I think that the sports car electric, because Ford did a Mustang now. Ford has an electric Mustang, and I think they have in it, it makes a sound similar to the classic muscle car Mustang. And so they are starting to I think, I don't know if it's an added feature or what you would necessarily classify that as, but that has been some people's concern and delay for changing away from the American muscle cars to electric vehicles, because they do miss that noise. And I think it's something that the auto manufacturers are working on.
Well, and with those improvements comes a new incentive. We talked earlier about how the Inflation Reduction Act, which is the newest domestic policy package put together by Democratic Senators Joe Manchin and Chuck Schumer, and now Senator Kyrsten Sinema says she's going to support it. That Inflation Reduction Act is made up of several components, and one of them involves a new tax credit. If you buy an electric vehicle, you can get a $7,500 tax credit applied at the point of sale. And that will be available to the couples earning under $300,000 a year, for individuals, $150,000. So because I know more than a couple of people have said, oh, electric vehicles are, you know, rich people toys. Well, you know, again, like everything, things start very expensive, then they get scalable and more affordable. So as that's happening, you bring that tax credit down to people who, you know, don't need it nearly as much. And what that means is tens of millions of people will now qualify for the credits. There will also be consumer rebates if you install more efficient heat pumps or solar panels in your home and more. There is a climate analysis group called Rewiring America, quoted in the Washington Post as saying that if consumers were to claim all of the subsidies in the bill, they could save nearly $2,000 a year in energy savings. And that is, so it's not just the, you know, electric vehicle tax incentive that's part of this Inflation Reduction Act, but it's part of the climate initiatives that you'll find in there as well. As I look through this review of it, there is $1.5 billion in rewards for cutting methane emissions. That's provided to, you know, oil and gas companies to cut their emissions, because we couldn't count on them to just do it out of the goodness of their heart. But we, you know, if that's what you have to provide to, you know, clean up the environment, then let's do it. There's another $260 billion in other clean energy tax credits as we continue to expand solar and wind and hydro. And that's just the future. That's just where we are now. And, you know, contrast that with the, you know, the ongoing apologists, essentially, for the oil and gas industry, who continue to cling to the same talking points. You know, one of my favorites, Luke, is the ones that say, you know, well, you know, what good is it to have windmills? You know, the wind doesn't blow all the time. Yeah, we know, but it often does. No, nobody's saying that your TV won't work if the wind ain't blowing, and yet they love to do that. It's crazy.
Yeah, and same goes for argument against solar panels. But you see plenty of areas where you don't need a sunny sky like Arizona to be able to power solar panels. There's technology that even on a cloudy day, when you get sunburn, solar panels are still taking in the sun's natural light to be able to power those batteries.
So I'm thinking, where did I hear that before? And I found it here, one of our daily newsletters, and it was from July 5th. So 1 month ago was a story about how Congressman Tom Tiffany, who represents us up north, sought to minimize the science behind a changing climate, going so far as to thank the Lord there was climate change 10,000 years ago when ice covered much of Wisconsin. Tiffany at the time had been on Capital City Sunday, which comes out at WKOW-TV, and he continues to express doubt about whether humans are responsible for a change in climate. He referred to it as, you know, a slight change in temperature. Well, slight by a number, not slight at all by what it's done to the Earth. Tiffany repeated a lie that is frequently used by fossil fuel advocates about the Texas electrical grid. Tiffany claimed that the problems with the Texas grid are because they relied too much on wind and solar. I'm going to say that again. Tom Tiffany thought there were problems with the electric grid because there was too much renewable energy on there, when the actual story is that the Texas officials did a poor job of preparing their grid for cold weather, which does still happen in Texas, much as we talked to Cam Stevenson earlier in the show, that cold weather comes to Arizona. You have to plan for what you've got. And in Texas, they do get cold snaps, more so, again, with a changing climate. You're going to get wilder swings in temperatures. And as a result, yeah, the wind turbines there froze up, because they didn't plan for them when they built them. They have since started making those repairs to be ready. But for Tiffany to claim that it's all wind power overall is the problem is either ignorant or uninformed, or I would contend intentional, as a way to continue to carry water, you know, for the oil and gas companies. But what really took the cake for me was when he tried to equate it to what happened 10,000 years ago, when he said, well, Thank the Lord for climate change back then, because otherwise we'd still be covered in glaciers. I don't think I've heard anything more apples and oranges come out of a public official's mouth in my life, because it doesn't take much to look back at the data and see that what happened then bears very little resemblance to the rapid buildup of carbon dioxide to levels that have not been seen here in 2.5 million years, okay? Not 10,000 years ago. You have to go back 2.5 million years to have as much carbon dioxide in the atmosphere as we have right now. So no, Congressman Tiffany, this is not a matter of thanking the Lord for a changing climate. This is something that is man-made. It is something that we can still do something about in two different areas. We can, you know, mitigate the effects of climate change. And what does that mean? It means we're going to get more floods. We're going to get stronger storms. So let's work on that by, you know, when a bridge gets washed out, when you rebuild that bridge, you know, build it to higher standards. If you have people who live in flood prone communities, then, you know, buy them out and get them out of there, because that's cheaper than having to rescue them and rebuild all the time. So that's the one thing you can do, is you can mitigate the impact of a changing climate. And then the other is to stop being part of the problem. You know, again, you're not going to change things overnight. And that's what a lot of, you know, opponents of doing anything on the climate contend is like, well, you can't fix it anyway. Here's the thing. I'm living on Lake Wissota, and even if all the other neighbors were peeing into it, you could still not contribute to the problem by maybe using indoor plumbing yourself. And that's really what this is about with, you know, this Inflation Reduction Act and the things that are in there that can mitigate, you know, and help stop contributing to the problem. And that's what we're really going to see now in this Inflation Reduction Act. And in, I think, just that change of heart of actually, you know, not being like President Trump and pulling out of, you know, the Paris Accords, but not being afraid to embrace this, to see it as not just necessary, but see it as an opportunity. There are jobs to be found in building and maintaining wind turbines. There are jobs to be made and filled in electric vehicles and in making homes more energy efficient. And there are jobs and there's money to be made in building a Route 66 of electric vehicles to go around one of our Great Lakes and see all kinds of great things on a Wisconsin-Michigan road trip. So go have fun with this. We'll take a break. We'll wrap up the show in just a moment. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and you're up north. Down to Electric Avenue. Rockin' in the daytime. Electric Avenue.